have two quick little demonstrations of new websites that I'm putting up that use Navi Server. And I just wanted to show them because, first of all, there might be some things that are useful that I'm doing with Navi Server. And secondly, I'm happy to open source the stuff. So the first is my company's used this form software called Basecamp for years. It's basically for companies to have a kind of Facebook. We also did it with our customers, and it's not scaled well. So we have 14,000 people on the forums. It's a disaster. So I've created something called Decamp. It's a pun, which is meant to be familiar to Basecamp people, but to be much more optimized for being a proper forum. So this is entirely JavaScript, Tickle, MySQL on Navi Server. And it has a couple interesting features, and if this is useful, then I'm happy to open source it. So first of all, there's four forums here. There's also direct messages and a chat room that have been done. And one of the things you notice is it's very, very fast. And that's because this is plain HTML, some little bit of JavaScript, but not much on here, and it's all using NSCache. So it keeps track of when someone posts a message, and then it invalidates the NSCache. And I can, for example, scroll through here. So these are all different threads. And I wanted to show this one because someone's posted a question. And one of the nice things about having your own forum software is you can extend it. One of my employees made something called Derek, which is a AI trained on 10 years of our forum. So you can ask Derek questions, but Derek is also being constantly trained on everything that people post to the forum. So this person said, "What's going on?" And Derek answered, and this is an AI answering. Okay. So the AI can participate and included some YouTube videos that it thought were relevant. You can also ping and direct message the AI. And then these are end users, and it's saying, it's tying into our sales database. So it's also saying when they bought their espresso machine and such. Okay. What I want to do is show you one of the real killer features, which is only about 40% of my audience has English as their native language. So 60% are not, and probably a good 30 or 40%, it's terrible. So they've gone, some of them have created their own forums, and I don't like these silos. The Germans, for example, refused to have their own forum because they don't like to be separate, and so they just struggle with whatever their English ability is. So what I've done here is, if I switch into German now, it's now in German. Okay. And the entire experience is going to be in German. And so all these strings here have been pre-translated. Now this is using an AI to whenever the new string is found. And there is a single thread running all the time in Navi Server waiting to be told, hey, there's something new to translate. Okay. And so if I then tap on this, you can see everything's been translated to German. So the German person can be forgiven for thinking, hey, this is a German forum. But what's interesting is if I tap on something, this has not been translated yet. So it's gone back and it's told Navi Server, hey, talk to the AI, go translate. Navi Server has an ADP page where it's feeding feedback back to this little script to give you an idea of how long it'll take. And now it shows it completely in German. And one thing you might notice here, it says originally off English. And so when I tap that, I can actually show the English version. So this is really useful because a lot of people have some ability in English, but they don't necessarily want to have to be in their language all the time. If I write here in German, it'll know, and other people will say, will see originally in German, and they'll see it translated to English. So imagine if you're, for example, running a university and you have foreign students who maybe their German language ability is not that good. For them to be able to participate in forums fully in their language and be able to toggle back and forth into the original could be quite powerful. German, English, Arabic, German, whatever it is. For me, this is a really killer feature. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I'm gonna switch back to English now. Now all the translation is done. Yeah?
Short question. What is language units? I think just translating word by word.
It's translating. In order to get the translation to work better, it does the entire thread at once so that the AI has context. Yeah, I agree with you. I used to do translation sentence by sentence, and it was terrible. In fact, this is why I've gone to Markdown, is so that my staff write entire articles in one language, and the entire article is translated at once. So just to show you quickly, then here's a live chat room. So at the moment, so this is something called Trix, which is an open source JavaScript editor, and you can drag and drop images in here, as well as the other one as well. It's not Markdown, it's actually HTML. And this is a live chat. At the moment, it's doing a 3-second poll. Now, I'd like to go to something else with that. Let me show you something else that's quite useful. This is, let's see if this works, summarize. Okay, this is my local copy. So this is using an AI to summarize what's happened in the last 9 days on this forum. And this is a feature I really like, is you can show it in a sidebar, and this makes it really easy to catch up because you just click here and up comes the forum and you go, okay, I've done that, here are some replies, now I'll click on this one, and very quickly catching up on the forum. This is the kind of thing that having a little bit of AI and paying a few pennies gets you features no one has ever seen before in a forum. And this all works multi-language. You can also choose to have these summaries emailed to you. So here under settings, I can do summaries here by mail. And I can say, I want this sent to me daily, weekly, monthly, and it links all to it. And it also will send it to you in your language. And then finally, here's a whole chat interface. But let me get rid of the summary. So this is a chat, and it allows you, a feature I really wanted is to be able to add people to a conversation that's ongoing. So someone will ping me with a conversation, and I'll say, I'm not the right person, you should talk to this person. And then that was a disaster with the chat. I think I've done it. So if I do invite here, I can add bugs, and see, you can say how many days of conversation you want them to see. So I can bring in my wife here, and she'll be automatically able to see 4 days of our thread. This is a big problem with WhatsApp. You get added, you only see things posted after the day you were brought in, but not everything. So I'm quite excited about this software. It kind of solves everything I've wanted in forums. It's still in beta. At the moment, one of the challenging things is we're still running Basecamp. So when I go, for example, to this chat room, there's a Navi server thread that's constantly right now doing a bidirectional sync, because Basecamp has APIs. So these comments here appear coming from Basecamp's chat. And if you post here, it'll also be cross-posted to Basecamp with their API. It's not perfect, but that's a way for me to have a beta time. Any questions on that before I move to the next thing? Would this be useful to anyone? Okay.
Please.
Go ahead.
Have you also tried live translations in the chat or in the direct message?
Yep.
Like
yep. They are live chat and chat room are both translated. So you can chat with someone who's not speaking your language. It does the same thing.
Antonio?
Yeah.
What AI are you using?
This is using DeepSeek because it's very, very cheap. So $20 US lasts me about 2 weeks. So I'm about 40 US a month. So if I'm in chat room here, you can see it's going to first try and do a chat, and it'll translate as I scroll back up in time. So it's only doing just a little bit. Okay. And there it is in German. So I'm chatting and I can post in that, and then they're gonna see English. Go ahead.
How good are the translations? Does it ever get things wrong?
Yeah, of course. this is Gustav's question. I prefer, in this sort of thing, it's going to be much worse because these are smaller chunks. The forums are much, much better because it does the entire forum of thread at once. So the context is much better.
Maybe a very European question, but what about privacy? Are you sending names and all the information?
So just the text here is being sent, and obviously it doesn't have to be DeepSeek, it could be some other AI, it could be a local AI. Derek is an AI that we use in-house. So the one that was trained on everything we've said in 10 years, that doesn't go to anybody else. That's our own AI. It's a big, fat server.
Fox on the left side.
What about poison attacks? So multi-languages have multiple learning slots. So is there a potential that, okay, you can filter on the word X, cuss word, but surely people will try to reach around and come up with something that's Islamic phobia or something like such. So
you're absolutely right. And so when I click on someone's name, there's a bunch of things. There's one guy who just trolls me all the time, so I've got a mute button for him, so I don't ever see him ever. Any user can report somebody. And no, just to finish that. So if someone were to do something awful, I rely on humans. And if someone will say report, and as soon as you report somebody, their messages are automatically hidden, and they all go into a moderation pile.
Right.
And then the admin then has to moderate, approve, and then decide to unmoderate that person if they want to, or leave them as a moderate user. So I don't use AI, I am wrong about that. I do use an AI for every new post.
Right.
It does two things. One is, on the general, it checks for people posting to the wrong form. So people, it does a bunch of things actually. If they post a problem on the general form, it'll just automatically move it to the problem form.
Sure.
If they put, it tests the subject line to see if it's a really bad description. So if they say machine won't start, and then they describe all this other stuff, I upgraded Android and now it won't start, it'll rewrite the subject line to machine won't start because I upgraded Android. And I also have the AI checking for hate speech, inflammatory, any of that,
sure.
Automatically moderates it and puts it in. So I am paying for that. I'm not saying it's not
no
problem, but I'm hoping to catch those things. Okay. So if there's some interest in that, then, I mean, this is an infrastructure we all have. Naviserver, Tickle, MySQL, some JavaScript. Plug the AI of your choice in as the endpoint if you want the language stuff.
Is it stuck to just DeepSeek, or can I use...
Oh, no, it's any.
Any model?
Yeah, it's actually using the OpenAI endpoint standard.
Oh, right, so give it an API.
Yep. Okay, so that's that, and I have a very short presentation and a little demo. It's a different thing. So for the last 25 years, I've run a music website called Magnatune, which is Creative Commons based. We're trying to do fair trade music. It eventually failed. Last year, I stopped doing business with it, and partially it was because it was so expensive for me to code and keep it up to date, and it just didn't compete well with anybody else. With AI assistance, I decided to work on a rewrite, and it happened that Naviserver 5.1 came out at the same time, which was cool. So I'm just going to kind of mention this. So this is Magnatune Reborn with Android iOS apps, but everything is a JavaScript app. So Tickle on the server, threaded. Talk about hot reloads in a second. Just going to go through this stuff. Okay, this is probably a personal conversation with Gustav, but it'd be nice to have a way to send Naviserver, please reload the Tickle interpreters from scratch. I have a kind of ugly way to do that right now, but if there were calls. Just because I'm iterating so much on the live server, that would be nice. Okay, so one of the things I did is I got 25 years of Google juice because there was a time where this was an incredibly successful website 20 years ago. And I don't want to lose that. And this was really a key thing Naviserver did for me, is while the entire website is JavaScript, I would lose all the inbound links, right? Google can't index that. So what I'm doing is I'm registering all the URLs, which are /artist/album/song, as things that Naviserver should capture. And then I render a plain HTML website with that. And then once that's what Google indexes, that's what it gets, and then I change the URL so it looks like that's what you're looking at, and then it actually hands it off to the JavaScript that does its little JavaScript thing. So browsers indexing, see plain HTML, all the URLs still work. show that in a second. So that's my legacy URLs stripped. Also, there were desktop clients, especially for Linux, that worked on stuff with old historical URLs. I had an AI just crawl my entire site and say, what are all the URLs I need to do for backward compatibility? And then just figure out how to match them all so I don't lose that. It's quite a lot of music. It's 4.7 terabytes of music. And what I've always done is an Apache server, which was feeding all the basic auth stuff, Navi server for the new user interface, and then LightHPD serving the media. Now it's all going to Navi server using GraphPath and Freighter Fritz. We'll see if it survives. So there's the filters. Okay. So this was the original site 25 years ago. So it looks like it, right? Narrow. And this was PHP. And there's another website which is written in TickleHPD, which is the musician's royalty website. So there's a lot of old code that I have to port over. This was my rewrite in, I think it was either Navi server or AOL server, I don't remember at the time. And it's pretty, but it was all MySQL backed and it totally got crushed under the force of crawlers. So in order to make this site survive, I had a script which rendered every page into plain HTML and served it via LightHPD, which had me lose a lot of functionality, but it was the only way I could do it. So this is now the new app. So this is the web app here. And the architecture is almost everything on the client. So on the server, I've got Navi server and MySQL and a big database. And what I do is I make an extract of the musician metadata into SQLite. And when a client first comes to the website, there's a little bootloader that downloads the SQLite file. And then from there on out, it checks whether they've paid me, so they're a member, with just a simple ADP. And then they don't talk to the server anymore, except to play music. So it's very, very scalable. Here's the Android app, iOS app, and everything is JavaScript on the interface, so it all looks the same on every OS. I'll just give you a quick demo, because I was quite excited to be able to do something really modern and competitive. So here's all the artwork on the left-hand side, just to give you an idea. So I click on that, I could play, and so it starts playing. There's even support for AirPlay, so you go to that. Just very surprising how easy it was to write something that was better than Tidal or even probably the Manitoon music store, and yet scalable. One of the features I really liked was this. This is the broken heart, which is, I hate this. And it's quite useful because on genres here, if you say, I don't like classical music, it'll just hide classical music from the entire website for you now. But since it's all SQLite, you know, that's just an extra and on the query in the background there. So that's kind of all I have to say. I just speak thank you to Gustav for bringing things up to date. The 5.1 version has got some interesting things. The quick support looks interesting. You saw there was about 2 or 3 seconds of latency to get songs started. I'd love to work on that. So that's my presentation. Questions on that? Yeah.
Okay. Are you on the mailing list from Navi server?
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe a month ago or so, maybe 2 months ago, I wrote a solution. I offered a solution for the mod reload stuff.
Oh, okay.
Folders.
Okay. Cool.
Actually, I've in the meantime I've had more. It wasn't very much feedback I got from it. Just that OpenACS has something like this in it built in, but well, I'm not using OpenACS.
Okay.
I think I fixed a few minor bugs locally in the meantime. So maybe you will find the posts of mine. I've been active on the list lately. So you can just ask me and I'll send it.
This is the Navi server discussion group, right?
Yes, the Navi server discussion group.
Cool.
Antonio.
What are you using to process SQLite on the client?
It's just native.
Okay.
JavaScript talks to SQLite directly.
This, okay, so you're using the, what's the name, WebDB?
Yeah, and now I did a slight hack, which is I don't actually send a SQLite file anymore. I found that to be actually less efficient. What I end up doing is a text file, essentially a database dump, and then gzipping that. That was smaller. And there's actually two files. There's one which is the light file, and then there's a heavier file that has all the artist descriptions and album descriptions that comes later, so that the website pulled up faster. So this is the app, but the website looks just like this, because this is just JavaScript.
Have you some scalability data? I mean,
that's going to be scary. Yeah, no, I haven't even gone live yet.
I see.
So,
I mean, if everything comes up, I think we have a lot of experience on how to monitor.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm also hoping that this can be kind of a case study on what a brand new current thing that no one looks at it and goes, this is old tech. There's nothing betraying here. Someone say, this doesn't look up to date. Which was my goal with both those things. Okay, thanks.
Okay, John, thanks a lot.